Commission meeting. If you would, sign up your phone if you've not already done that. We're going to start out the meeting with Pastor Garvey from the Cavalry Assembly. We got with an invocation. If you remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance after this. Pastor.
Father God, we are honored to spend these moments here today. We thank you for your word and the truths that are found therein. We're told in Romans 13 that we are to honor those who are in authority. So we thank you for each person who is committed to serving our city and are grateful for their service. We thank you that your word says that whatever we bless, you bless. And so we speak a blessing over them today. And we thank you for your presence in everything that is said and done. We thank you, finally, that your word says that when we lack wisdom, that you'll give it to us without reproach. And so in each and every item that is on the agenda today, and in each and every situation that requires deliberation, we ask that there would be just an evidence of divine wisdom. We commit all these things to you, and we are grateful for all that you do in us and through us. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Pastor, thank you so much. Thanks for what you do in our community. We do appreciate it. Okay, I'm looking for an approval of the agenda. We are moving item D, which is under my mayor's report, which is Proclamation of World Stroke Day. That's actually coming next agenda item. Any other changes to the agenda, City Manager?
No, sir.
Great. I'd like to move it. Second it.
Great. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. First, I want to welcome our new city attorney, Kirk. Welcome. We're glad to have you here. I know it was the RFP process is never fun, and there were some of your friends in the profession that didn't get chosen, but we're happy to have you here. We're looking forward to your guidance and your assistance, so thank you.
Mayor, Commissioners, thank you so much. Glad to be here. Looking forward to it. It's already a lot of fun.
We will spoil that really quick.
We can fix that in a hurry.
Folks, also, there was a passing this weekend. A friend of Winter Park, Fred Linhart, who was at Gray Robinson, who was an advocate for Central Florida up in Tallahassee. He did many things for Winter Park as well as all Central Florida, so please keep him in your prayers. He's a good man, did a lot of good work for this community. Third, I have the Art Festival, and I will turn this gladly over to Commissioner McMackin, who spends tireless hours working on this. So, Tom, any words on the Art Festival?
Oh, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, this weekend was the 42nd Autumn Arts Festival, and we are just a fantastic host community. That's all I have. I can really say the event actually started Thursday evening. The chamber had a business after hours at Mead Gardens, and again showcasing one of the great places that we have in the city. I think Saturday is probably my favorite day of the entire year in the city of Winter Park. We have the art festival going on. We had the farmers market going on. We had the sidewalk sale going on. We had restaurants along Park Avenue with their venues out on the street, and it was great. We had I see Dory out there. The Vision Winter Park folks had a tent set up, and so we were engaging residents in that. We had a phenomenal amount of local talent here, some fantastic middle schoolers playing jazz that really set the bar for the UCF Big Band Jazz that was out here. Just, you know, when you sit there and say that we are playing host to, you know, hundreds of thousands of people over a weekend, that's pretty special. And I see lots of folks here that I really have to thank. Mr. Holland from Parks, thank you very much. Chief Rock. The police, I'll tell you, they keep everything moving with a smile on their face and a song in their heart. And I'll tell you, when you have that many people trying to get in and out of here in a hurry, they do a great job. Code enforcement was here. Chief, the rescue folks were out here. We had a bike corral going on. I mean, you name it. I think every aspect of our city touched that festival this weekend. And again, I think of the city. I don't know how many other cities could host the number of events we do and do it as well as we do. And kudos to all the city staff and all our first responders that were out there that made it a great success. So thank you for the opportunity to recognize them.
Yeah, are you kidding? It's our pleasure that you are so involved too. So thank you.
No, it's fine. I came home Saturday or Friday, and my wife said, "Well, I said, my dogs are tired." And she said, "Well, how far did you walk?" And she goes, "Well, you've got one of those apps on your phone." I'm like, "Where's that?" And
I think he watched the bear 10.
Yeah, I watched the bear. Well, that was Saturday. Friday, I put in 10 miles walking up and down Central Park. And got my 23,000 steps in. So it was,
Well, and I passed plenty of officers, Chief, and out there in their vests in there, and you guys, too, the fire department and emergency services out there, we do appreciate it. As Commissioner McMackin said, thank you for being out there and taking care of us. We do appreciate it.
Thanks, sir.
Certainly.
I have a few things to do down here.
Winter Park Babe Ruth, 1,400 girls. We have 2015 girls all-star softball team. Some amazing young ladies that are here today to celebrate, or we're here to celebrate. If you haven't heard, the 1,400 Babe Ruth girls all-star softball team won third place in August in Newberry, Florida, where they played in the 2015 World Series. Congratulations. Third place team in the world. I'm going to call all coaches up and the players that are here. And unfortunately, you're going to have to stand up here and let us older folks stand behind you for a nice picture. But you'll pretty us up a little bit. So, coaching staff, we have Gary Stout. Gary, come on up, Gary. Pat Gorman. Joel Brohmeyer. Joel. We have John Richardson. John. Great. We'll do we'll call the girls up, and then I'd love for the coaches to say a few words after we get our picture, if you wouldn't mind. Athletes, let's welcome up Katie Richardson. Come on, Katie. Are you there? Is she not there? Wow. We got a relief pitcher for her, Asia Newsom. Where's Asia? Come on up, Asia. We have Caitlin Shannon. We have Veronica Sobaran. We have Bridget Gorman. Maddie Cable. We have Jordan Bellmeyer. Sarah Goldberg, Bella from a, this is going to mess with Luminary, Lawrence Stout, and Carolyn Kelly can be with us, is that correct? So, Carolyn Kelly. Thank you guys. Come on over, coaches. Ladies, if you want to stand here too while the coach is bragging on you a little bit.
Yeah.
come over here. I can throw a couple of stats that were handed to me. So a few interested stats. Average run score per game, 10.7. The team batting average, 364. Boy, my parents are going to really jealous of that because I never got close to that. The team on-base percentage, 478. Average runs allowed per game, 6.5. Coach Stout, a few words?
Sure.
Thank you. We appreciate you having us here today to recognize the girls. I guess a few things that stick out in my mind as I think back at the team this summer. First of all, just how much better the girls got from when we first put the team together back in the beginning of May to when the World Series ended in August. It was really, I know speaking for all the coaches, just really rewarding for us to see how much better the girls got skill-wise as an individual, each individual, and as a team. So that was really great for us to watch how much they improved. Second thing is how much fun the girls had playing together. I can't tell you how many different coaches came up to us during all these tournaments and just said how the Winter Park girls really look like they're enjoying playing together, they're having fun out there, they're winning a lot of games. So not only did they win a lot of games, but they had a lot of fun doing it and enjoyed each other's company. So I think the teamwork was really great to see. And then the final thing was just how much all these girls sacrificed. You know, they basically gave their summer up. We were practicing 4 or 5 days a week, and they never really complained about it. And we ran them hard with a lot of sprints, right, girls? So a lot of fun stuff like that. But again, they gave up their summer, sacrificed for each other, and it was obviously very successful. So I just want to thank the girls and coaches again for all your support and effort with the team this summer.
Yeah.
just quickly, as coaches do, he didn't even mention how much work they put into it. And I can tell you, as someone who coaches lacrosse, my son's lacrosse team, I know how much time you guys put into it. So thank you on behalf of the city for taking the investment in the girls to do this. And I will tell you, Tom, you were just talking about the Arts Festival and how that is core to Winter Park. So is this, and so is youth sports. And you guys really make us a better city because of it. So thank you all very much. We appreciate it. Dory, are you here? Where are you? I didn't see Tony and Paige come in. Are they here? There they are. And John. Great. We had a great lunch this past week with Tony and Paige over at Boca. They are the Business Recognition Award for the third quarter 2015. It's Tooney, Trendy, and Chic. The city's Economic Development Advisory Board selected Tooney's to receive this award for the third quarter. The purpose of the award is to formally recognize Winter Park businesses demonstrating a commitment to the vitality of the city's business climate, and they volunteer to expend both human and financial resources to ensure the continuation of a vibrant local business setting. This is great. I mean, we're coming off the Art Festival. We're coming off of some young ladies who played softball and represented the city so well, and now we get to represent, or we get to award a business who's been with us for how many years, Tina? 30 years. That's phenomenal. Dory, I'm going to turn this over to you for a few words, but sure.
Now, I always enjoy this, but I especially enjoy it when you can take an icon and really recognize them proudly as part of your downtown and part of your city, and I can only call Tooney's an icon. I don't know that we have a piece of merchandising literature that doesn't include Tooney's, and in most cases I've seen in other even advertising pieces, a Tooney's bag is always represented to represent the city of Winter Park. So with that, Tooney and Paige Blackwalder have been the proud owners of Tooney's for 30 years. They've been at their current location for 23 of those 30. Prior to that, they were at where Lily Poulter is for the first seven. They played a huge role, as we all know, in the Park Avenue Fashion Week and Harriet's Closet. They're members of the Park Avenue Merchants Association and are very active in our downtown and always willing to give their time and talent to anything we need to help the city and help the CRA better understand the merchants and the merchants' groups. They are the first women's clothing boutique in the downtown area. They did transform their current location from a grocery store to a very trendy, hot, cool boutique shop. And they have 13 employees, both part and full time, that are part of their group. But anyway, I think when we think of downtown, we think of Tooney's and we think of that cool, fun, hip, chic place that we all love to go by, and certainly they always also represent anything that the city's doing, whether it be pink out or whatever. Their windows are always exquisite and fun to walk by. So with that, Mayor, we're happy to present. Hey, come on up, Paige Tooney and John.
John. John's not coming.
Thank you so much for recognizing Tooney as the store that we are. This is what we do, and we love it, and we love the city that we're in, and we're glad to be a part of it, and glad that we can do our part in making it better, and thankful for all of you.
It's been a great 30 years. I hope Paige will be here 30 more. And it's a wonderful city to do business. We've been here through lots of changes, not only physical, but it's been a great 30-year ride, and we thank all of you who have made that and appreciate it. Thank you.
Which way, Tracy? You move us.
Okay, ready? One, two, three.
Oh, yeah, hear that.
Yeah.
Here you go. We haven't lost one yet.
Mitch has a teenager to get somewhere, so.
Ah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Sean, can I have Sean Schaefer, the executive director of the library?
Yes.
Come on up.
Sean.
We didn't even do anything yet. That's pretty good. Next week is National Friends of Libraries Week, and in honor of our support for the Winter Park Public Library, we have the following proclamation. Welcome. Please. Please, bring it. National Friends of Libraries Week. It's October 18th through the 24th this year, 2015. Whereas Friends of the Winter Park Public Library raise money that enables our library to move from good to great, providing the resources for additional programming, much-needed equipment, support for children's summer reading, and special events throughout this year. And whereas the work of the Friends highlights on an ongoing basis the fact that our library is the cornerstone of the community, providing opportunities for all to engage in the joy of lifelong learning and connect with the thoughts and ideas of others from ages past to the present. And whereas the Friends understand the critical importance of well-funded libraries and advocate to ensure that our library gets the resources it needs to provide a wide variety of services to all ages, including access to print and electronic materials, along with expert assistance in research, readers advisory, and children's services. And whereas the Friends who operate the New Leaf Bookstore are celebrating 20 years of service, operating 7 days a week and contributing over $1.3 million to library operations to date. And whereas the Friends' gift of their time and commitment to the library sets an example for all in how volunteerism leads to positive civic engagement and the betterment of our community. Now, therefore, I, Steve Leary, by virtue of the authority vested in me as mayor of the city of Winter Park in the state of Florida, do hereby proclaim the week of Monday, October 18th through Saturday, October 24th, 2015, as National Friends of Libraries Week in the city of Winter Park, Florida, and urge everyone to join the Friends in the Winter Park Library and thank them for all they do to make our library and community so much better. Sean, congratulations. Let me turn this over to you.
Thank you very much for such a lovely honor. We're just delighted to be here. Inasmuch as Marcia and I have spent, what would you say now, 37 years? Because in fact, we had a book sale out on the apron of the library for 17 years before Bob Melanson built us an addition to the library itself, where we now can work in cooler weather. But in any case, we have, in fact, contributed to the library over $1,250,000, which I think helps a lot.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And at the same time, we couldn't do any of that without the help from the city, which we very much appreciate. We're one of those unusual libraries where we're not entirely fed by taxations and contributions from the government, but in fact it's a progress that we have made that has also enlisted all of you. How many of you, for example, have brought us books that you were getting rid of? I suspect most of you. Thank you. That's really what keeps us going, and I can tell you we have millions and millions of books that have been distributed. We have some folders that you can pick up at the library which tell you how many other places we give the books we can't sell to other units, jails, schools, hospital, lots of places. So it's really a community affair. But it wouldn't happen without Marcia, who was there the first day I ever saw the library, because we had just moved here 37 years ago, and there she was. And she got me started, and we've been going ever since. So thank you very much for recognizing us at the 37th or 20th year. We're very proud of our library and very proud of the staff that supports us. Thank you so much.
Can I ask your volunteers to stand up and be recognized?
Could I please ask all the volunteers who are here? We have 35 on our cashier staff.
Wow.
Thank you so much. You're so faithful, and you're the reason we really enjoy our work.
Well, no, but you guys should be in the picture.
May yeah, volunteers, please, please.
They're not all women. We have women that came with us. We've got some wonderful guys that volunteer as well.
So absolutely.
We wanted to let you guys know that.
I think we're recruiting here right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ladies, come on down for the picture, please.
Oh, and yes. I'm so glad you came. Thank you.
Let's do it. Here. Sean, let's do it right here.
Okay.
She's going to try to pull this over. Stand up for
If you're in the picture, you have to volunteer. You realize that.
And you're really close to the picture. He's got a great smile.
One, two, three.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's kind of funny.
Yeah. Boy, another great part of our community. Chief White, come on down. Folks, the month of October is Fire Prevention Month, and the Chief's going to share a very unique opportunity we unfortunately were graced with recently, but it's an opportunity for this community to learn more about fire prevention. But before he does that, I'd like to read the proclamation for October 2015, Fire Prevention Month. Whereas the City of Winter Park is committed to ensuring the safety and security of all those living and visiting in our community, and whereas fire is a serious public safety concern, both locally and nationally, and homes are the locations where people are at the greatest risk of fire. And whereas, according to the National Fire Protection Association, in 2013 alone, fire departments in the United States responded to approximately 370,000 residential fires, which were responsible for the deaths of 2,755 people. And whereas, 3 out of 5 home fire deaths resulted from fires in properties without working smoke alarms, and whereas all residents should install smoke alarms in every sleeping room, outside each separate sleeping area, and on every level of their home, as well as should have plans in place to provide smoke alarms for the hearing impaired, and practice exit drills for everyone, including those who may be handicapped. And whereas Winter Park firefighters are dedicated to reducing the occurrence of home fires and home fire injuries through prevention and protection education. And whereas the 2015 Fire Prevention Month theme, Hear the Beat, Where You Sleep, Every Bedroom Needs a Working Smoke Alarm, effectively serves to remind us all that we need working smoke alarms to give us the time to get out safely. Now, therefore, I, Steve Leary, by virtue of the authority vested in me as Mayor of the City of Winter Park and the State of Florida, do hereby proclaim the month of October 2015 as Fire Prevention Month in the City of Winter Park, Florida, and urge all residents to check and install smoke alarms in every bedroom, outside each sleeping area, and on every level of the home, and to support the many public safety activities and efforts of our firefighters. Chief. We're seeing you up here a lot lately.
Thank you, Mayor. And we appreciate the City Commission passing this proclamation for 2015 for October for Fire Prevention Month. I want to thank my crews for being here and just a small representation of the crews that do this work every day here in the city and protect all of us. I do want to bring up, as you mentioned, an opportunity. Last month we had, and I hear this question a lot from people, you don't have a lot of fires in Winter Park, do you? And that's an excellent thing. That's a good thing. And absolutely, we are below the average. But last month we had a very, very typical situation occur at a home on Gulfside Drive. About midnight, home was occupied by a mother and 2 teenage children. We're spending time with each other, watching TV, getting ready to go to bed. All of a sudden, hear the beep of their smoke detectors going off. And a fire had started in the attic space above the living space, where they couldn't have detected it until the fire actually dropped down into the living space, set things on fire, set off the smoke detectors, got them up, got them out of the house.
and they were able to survive that fire. Several ironic things. It's the home of a firefighter that does not work for Winter Park, works for Cape Kennedy Space Center Fire Department. But it can happen to anybody. It can happen to anyone, and all of us need to take the time to go home tonight and make sure that your smoke detectors work for your family. If they don't work, contact, if you're not in Winter Park, contact your local fire department, and they will come out and check those and install them if you do not have any available. We have a unique opportunity this Wednesday night on Gulfside Drive, the home that experienced the fire. We're going to have an open house at that house, so you can come in and see and feel the damage that occurred at that home. The family will be there. We will show you the damage where the fire started and allow you to tour the inside of the house before they go about their renovations. So we encourage people to come out from 6 to 8 on Wednesday night on Gulfside Drive, 1216 Gulfside Drive. You won't be able to miss it. It'll be the only one with fire trucks parked in front of it. Out there on Gulfside Drive. Exactly. But Mayor, thank you very much, and Commissioners, thank you very much for this proclamation.
Thank you, Chief.
I think Tootie would have done it differently.
Is everybody ready? One, two, three. And again. One, two, three.
Thank you. Thank you,
Chiefs.
I think we just had a microcosm of what makes Winter Park great right there, huh?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Just got one of everything.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, really good to do that.
We're going
to
do this more often.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just for Kurt.
I appreciate it. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks.
That's all I have. Randy, City Manager's report.
I just want to say happy birthday to the city today. 128 years old today. So
Wow. Are we allowed to sing that without paying royalties? I'm not sure how that court case ends up.
You can now.
I'd be glad to answer any questions.
I have a question, Randy. We got a we received a very short one-line email from the former executive director of the Historic Land Trust. Do you have any further information on that?
I do not. We're trying to find out what's going on there.
Okay, and just for reference, the historic, we received an email from the director of the Historic Land Trust who said she was...
Hannibal Square Community Land Trust.
Sorry. Thank you. Hannibal Square Historic Community Land Trust.
Yeah.
Usually the acronyms. Who sent us an email saying she was dismissed without cause. So we're just trying to dig into it a little bit. And as I said, it was a one-sentence email. I'm just trying to find out more information. Anything else for the city manager?
No, sir.
Commissioner Cooper.
Randy, last meeting we talked about a few changes that we might want to look at to consider whether we want to adopt for our codes. And I think one of them was talking about reimbursement of attorney fees. Mm-hmm. One was about accessibility of visitors, parking, and multifamily developments. Remember, we ended up with a bunch of them inside a garage. And the third was some clarification on our lot split language. And the only reason I bring those things up is a lot of times projects will come to us and we see that we have weaknesses in the codes, but I would just love it if there was a way to track that so that one way or the other we close it out. We either look at it and we say it's great, or we, and I didn't know if the city manager's report is a place to do that, or I just wanted to bring those up if that's possible, that we could kind of keep an eye on.
Okay.
Is there
Did we actually ask for action on those, or did you just...
No, in the agenda packet it says that there was consensus that they would go and look at it. Not that we would do anything, but just that they would look at it and help us close it out.
What did we do on attorney's fees last time? That's what you're saying?
I think they said they were already working on it.
Well, the You're right. That was the one about developers paying for attorney's fees.
Oh, that was that item, yeah.
Yeah,
so,
it's just the little things that we may need to fix our codes to reflect that that is a policy, and maybe it's not.
It would come in front of us if it were going to become policy.
Even if they decide to change it, it will come to us.
Right. Yeah. That's all I was saying, is let's just kind of track closing it out one way or the other.
Right.
Thank you.
Great. Anything else for the city manager?
No, sir.
Kurt, anything for the city attorney?
I'm glad to be here. Looking forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anything for the city attorney? No? We'll get, I know we have some probably some questions coming on the ordinance that we changed, so we'll look at that. Folks, we will hold citizen comments closer to the 5 o'clock hour. Anything on the consent agenda that we'd like to change?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to pull item 9B1.
9B1, that's the waste prep?
Yes, sir. And other than that, I would move for approval of the consent agenda.
Yeah, I need to pull a couple items as well. Okay. With 9B14, 15, and 16.
9B16 is not necessary.
Just want to discuss it.
Okay, that's fine.
I didn't care. Yeah.
Okay. With that, we seek approval for the rest of the agenda, or the rest of the consent agenda. I'll second that. We'll open the floor to public comment on any of those items. Seeing none, we'll close the floor to public comment. Cindy, would you? Can we do this by
roll call? Yes.
Do we have to roll call?
Or no? You can voice vote.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Great. Commissioner McMacken, B1.
Just a clarification on that one, Randy. I thought we were going to be going out and...
Right. This is a blanket purchase order for the... Is that for the whole year, Michelle? But if, you know, assuming we'll be out to bid and they're due back, like the new vendor, if they happen, would that happen?
Yeah, I extended it, but right. When I saw, you know, $2.2 million, I'm going, well, that's a real extension. I just needed to...
It'll be at least July before a change were to be made, if there is a change.
Okay.
And that purchase order will be canceled, and it will be issued if there's a change required.
Perfect, thank you. Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move...
Well, I just have a question about that. Last meeting, I think Greg had asked that we receive a copy.
Yes, you will. We got the draft today from the consultant.
For the
RFP.
Perfect.
It'll probably be later this week.
Perfect. Thank you.
I move for approval of that item, Mr. Mayor.
I'll second that. We'll open the floor to public comment. Seeing none, we'll close the floor. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Great. Commissioner Seidel, item 14.
Yeah, items 14 and 15, I do past and current work with both of those firms, so I didn't feel comfortable voting to give them the contract.
I get the city attorney's perspective on that.
Yes, he's correct. I think given the facts that he should recuse himself and file the appropriate paperwork for both of those items.
Great. Other than that, are we okay to move those?
Yes.
Then I will.
Yeah. I'll second.
Fantastic. We'll open the floor for public comment. Seeing none, we'll close the floor. Cindy, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Commissioner Sato.
Abstained.
Thank you. Commissioner Sato, you pulled 16 also.
Yeah, this is a firm that I actually, I review their work under contracts that I have with the Department of Transportation, and I don't do work for them. I do know them well. I have friends there. So with the fact that I review their work, that was something I didn't share with you.
Yeah, if you do their work, I suggest that under the statutory provisions that would be another one to recuse yourself from.
Okay. Yeah, same thing.
Okay, I'll move that.
I'll second that one.
We'll open the floor to public comment. Seeing none, we'll close the floor to public comment. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And Commissioner Seidel is abstaining.
So I have to do some paperwork now? That's what I have.
Oh, it's,
okay. That's right.
It's this big book right here.
Taking blood later. Randy, item 10A?
Yes, sir. As you know, the state legislative session will be earlier this year. Since next year's an election year, all kind of other fun stuff's going on. So in your packet, I put together staff recommended state legislative priorities that we would then forward, you know, once modified and adopted by the commission, will be forwarded to our lobbyists to know that these are our priorities and they'll be working on it during this legislative session and the upcoming year.
Okay. Any questions for the city manager?
Mr. Mayor, I only had one. I think I asked the last time, and it may have been answered. We've got 15 priorities here.
Mm-hmm.
Do we ever want to give our folks in Tallahassee, our lobbyists, a 1, 2, and 3 kind of thing, or do we still are we still better off? And it's more of a tactical question than anything, Randy. Are we still better off just giving them this list and having them come back and saying, here's the ones we think we can hit?
Certainly, if there's a higher priority, I think the commission should signal that. What I do with it is I sit down with the lobbyists and go through and, what are the hot topic items in Tallahassee this year? Do you see any opportunities for any of these? And they'll usually come back and say, yes, for example, water projects might be big this year, so let's make that the one we really push. So that's how I utilize this. But certainly if the commission wants to say this is our 1, 2, and 3 top priorities,
I really didn't sit down and do my 1, 2, or 3. I just wondered as we go forward if it would help to give them direction or not. And if it doesn't, again, it's a tactical question, not specific to any one of these.
I think what we're hoping to do is get their feedback first before
that's the best way to go.
Yeah, we'll just probably come back and discuss it.
Okay. We have Representative Dr. Beard.
Yeah, he's all ready to talk on this item too, aren't you?
He's got a big briefcase full of
this right here. Thank you very much.
Any other questions for the city?
No.
I'm good. I can't even speak to the city manager on this. Great. Randy, do you need a motion on this?
Yes, sir. I appreciate that.
So moved. Second.
Okay, we'll open the floor to public comment on the state and the priorities for the city at the state level. Seeing none, we'll close the floor. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Great. Public hearing. Who do we have? Jeff? Miller, I do see I chatted with you beforehand. Is there anything you'd like to do? Do you need to address the commission? I certainly want to give you that opportunity if you'd like it. I've heard one word from you before. That's scary. Can I hold you to that?
Choose
that word carefully.
Thank you, Mary Lee. And Mike Miller, 375 Sylvan Drive, Van Park, Florida. For those of you that don't know me, I've been coming to the City Commission not as much as I should have, but now that I'm here in the State House, I realize that the hard work that all you guys do up here on the dais, and I appreciate all the time you've put in. Appreciate when you guys come to see me in Tallahassee. And I did look at this list, and I do agree with the comments that let's see what you guys come up with as an opportunity to get the most efficient bang for the buck. Because as a state legislator, I want to make sure that we use all of our taxpayer dollars as efficiently as possible. So I know we've got a lot of great options here. I looked at the list earlier with my daughter Katie, and she was saying, "Wow, all these look pretty good." But sometimes you can't fund them all. So I just appreciate some direction from you guys, and hopefully I'll do as best I can as your legislator. I know we've got at least one or two more state reps that represent this area, right? So I'm not all by myself up there, but I'll do my best to help you, and I appreciate the time you guys put in as elected officials. So thank you.
Would you take any questions if there are any?
Yeah, please.
Any questions? No?
We're great.
Mike, thank you for your service.
Okay.
Thank you very much. We know how much time away you spent, so thank you.
Thank you.
Jeff. Item 11A.
These are second readings, as well as the second public hearing. There are two titles to read.
We want to read those. Mr. City Attorney, is this the item we were talking about that we made a few minor adjustments to the ordinance?
Not the ordinance, but the development agreement.
Right, I'm sorry.
But what I can do, Mayor, is read both titles, and then we can discuss those.
That's fine, thank you.
First ordinance, an ordinance amending Chapter 58, Land Development Code, Article Roman Number 1, Comprehensive Plan, so as to change the future land use designation of commercial to central business district future land use on the property at 652 West Morse Boulevard, more particularly described in herein, providing for conflict, severability, and an effective date, and an ordinance amending Chapter 58, Land Development Code, Article Roman Number 3, Zoning, and the official zoning map so as to change from office O-1 district zoning to commercial C-2 district zoning on the property at 652 West Morse Boulevard, more particularly described herein, providing for conflict, severability, and an effective date.
Great. Jeff, anything to add?
Yes, because at the first public hearing on these three items, what there was some discussion on at the meeting, that came up at the meeting was a maintenance agreement requirement for the City Park Colonnade area that's directly to the west. And so you know the logistics of the meetings, and that we we get the best draft of the development agreement that can go out to you when the books go out a week ago. But in the intervening time, the city attorney's office has spent a lot of productive time with the applicant's attorney, you know, reworking that text and getting it further along. So,
would you mind if I asked the city attorney to highlight any of those items?
Well, it's the devil in the details.
Right.
Glad to be here, Commissioners. What I handed out to you prior to the meeting is the developer's agreement. It's a red line of what was in your packet and was posted. So the red language, the red words and phrases in this document before you are that's shown are added. The strike-throughs have been deleted. The developer is in agreement with these changes. Let me go through them. First page, not significant substantive matters. On the second page, under section 2-G, at the bottom of the page, it talks specifically about the developer and the city working together on a landscape and hardscape plan to be agreed upon. The developer, at its expense, would then make those improvements that are agreed to within that public area for the landscape and the hardscape. The developer would have the obligation to maintain those improvements that the city and the developer agree on for 30 years, and at the end of 30 years, if in fact the city wished to change these, you could. The city would still retain its obligations to maintain all the other portions of that public area that are not agreed to be made by the developer at the developer's cost. That's the primary essence of that. The next page, page number 3, provides for protections to the city in the event of the developer or the HOA when it takes over. If they do not step up and honor their obligations, we have the ability to go after the HOA and lien their properties. At the bottom of the page, under section 6, enforcement mechanisms, that's the leaning opportunity that we would have, hopefully would never need to be used. Next page 4, some cleanup items. We give the developer in the future, the HOA, 60 days to cure any problems before moving forward. Under section 8, we've made some additional approvals saying that prior to the issuance of any permits and approvals for the property, that this agreement shall be executed, and if the developer does not actually close on the property, because he does not own it, if he does not close on it, then all of the approvals, including this agreement, would be null and void. Those are the principal ones. We've got some legal stuff at the back, making sure that any loan would be subordinate to the city's rights under the agreement.
Great, thank you. Any questions for Mr. Ardman or city staff? No? Great.
Let me just take a minute and explain what these commitments are. Because basically, the City Park property in the very front by Morse, we have a public plaza and a colonnade structure. And then as you go back behind there in the narrow part, you have a curvy sidewalk that goes back to the community center property. The sidewalk that goes to the back is in very distressed condition. Something needs to be done. To repair it, replace it, the applicants, developers have agreed to do that in concert with approval from the Parks Department. And they've agreed to maintain the plantings and the irrigation, etc. They are not in agreement, and the city's not compelling them to maintain the colonnade and the patio area up front, because those would be costs over and above just taking care of the landscaping, irrigation, etc. At the last city commission meeting, though, there was some discussion about whether the city was interested in selling any of this park. And so that's a question for you all. The presumption is that you would not be interested in selling the front piece. That's what everybody sees on the street. That's the gathering area under the colonnade, and that is used as a park. But the question, if it's viable or not, is whether the city's commission is interested in pursuing a sale of the back tail part where the sidewalk goes down to the community center, because it doesn't really lead to the community center anymore, understanding that the developer is not going to be able to build anything on this property. I mean, so it's not going to have a lot of value because it's just going to maintain perpetually as open space. But that was an idea that was discussed. If the commission wants to pursue it, now's the time. Otherwise, we're dropping it, and we will just stick with the maintenance agreement as it's been described by the attorney and staff.
Mr. Cooper.
I did have a question. What amount is that parkland counted toward our calculations for?
Yes, it is.
So we could never replace it, I would assume. I would feel comfortable if we were talking about trading it for other parkland in the city, because then we could still continue to count it as part of our parks level of service. But anything short of that,
they couldn't offer
I don't know
a
how
price.
We could work out something that was fair to you and could replace the parkland for our ability to continue to develop.
Right. So otherwise, we're back to the maintenance agreement as described.
Commissioner McMahon.
No, you know where I'm going on this one. So.
Yeah, I think I have a sense. Jeff, let me ask you a question. I thought this was still going to connect through to the community center. Is that not the case?
Well, it connects through to the roadway that goes down past the spray park, and then you walk to the community center to Shady Park.
So you can still get through?
Yeah.
Okay. The way you phrased it earlier, I was...
It's just suddenly directed to the building.
You have to go right in the community center. You have to go around the corner to get
right.
it.
And
right.
nothing can be done here that would make it less accessible to the public?
No. Just nicer.
Questions?
You don't need big signs.
My question is, when you were talking about that, how much is that even a half of an acre? You were talking about trading and it being a part of what we count for parkland. If you just did something with that tail, how much is it?
Well, that would be another difficulty because exactly what you're saying is such a small piece.
Right.
And to find another small piece would make...
Well, let's say you don't find another small piece. You're dealing with a quarter of an acre?
Yeah.
You're dealing with nothing.
Right.
Okay, all right.
$1 million in downtown White Park. Yeah.
Well, I paid
if you
my
can do something with it. I don't know if you can do anything in downtown White Park.
And it wasn't nothing, so.
Right. I wouldn't say nothing at a quarter acre in downtown White Park.
I'm not saying that. It's just that you can't do anything with it there, okay, because of where it is. And so that was why it made some sense to me if somebody else wanted it. I don't know.
Mr. Seidel.
Thank you. The only comment I would have really is to make sure it's still inviting to the public, whatever landscape scheme that you come up with, that it doesn't seem like private property, because some areas around my house that are like that. And we
especially
don't,
the ones that go to the lake.
Right. And, you know, people don't, you know, that this case here, I think there's, you know, a lot of people wouldn't realize it is open to the public. So just whatever landscape plan, it can be made to be inviting. That's all I would be looking
for. Everything's subject to parks approval.
Yeah.
So Mr. Holland will be responsible for reviewing this and approving the plan? Is that correct?
Yes.
Great. Okay. Well, I'd like to move the on second reading of the land use.
On second.
And I'd like to move the zoning map on second reading.
Second.
Great. We'll open the floor for public comment on this.
You also have to move the conditional use of the development agreement.
Yeah, there's a...
Do I need to do that? I got you. Also, I'll move the conditional use as well and the development agreement.
I'll second that.
Right?
Mr. Bellows, yeah, thank you.
Dan Bellows, 411 West New England Avenue. There's some other opportunities, I think, that will be coming before the commission that are somewhat of a similar deal about this piece of land you're talking about. I've never talked about this project, talked to the developers or anything, but I can tell you I originally acquired this land and sold it to the DeCiccios. And when I sold it to the DeCiccios, I subdivided off this sliver and sold that piece to the city. That whole rationale behind this was because there was going to be somewhat of a feature on Morse Boulevard right there, and then the identical connector all the way through where we developed across the street to hit Simons, and the idea was to join the north side of Morse community to the south side. Well, it did not happen. Therefore, I don't think anybody uses this land. If the city could sell it, get their money back, now the guy has to pay taxes on it. The Parks Department doesn't have to maintain it. I'm just telling you, this piece of land did not get used the way it was supposed to be and why all that was happening. So I was thinking it before you guys even brought it up. Why don't the group just buy that land and take it off the city's hands?
Yeah.
My opinion.
Thank you. Well, we have a limited information on it, Jeff, right? Because you don't have A, we don't have a price that we've discussed, and B, we don't know the size of the land. Correct?
Nor do we know the
amount. Right. Well, and recognize that the Seaside Bank next door, Seaside Building, has built and designed their building and their offices to look out on a public park plaza. So to say you're just going to sell it and people can put buildings there to bring the value up to something, that's not realistic.
Okay.
Can I clarify something?
Sure.
I don't think any of us said that we wanted to sell it and put buildings there. I know that I'm over there all the time and people do not walk down that way now. They walk on the road over here where the sidewalk is. My simple noticing is that that's a piece of property that someone's going to build on now, and it doesn't make sense to me for the city to maintain a very small piece of that. So I just want us to look at it to see if, in fact, it would help us as a city to not have to go in there and mow that little sliver of land. It doesn't make sense to me. So that's all I'm asking you to do is to look at it, because I'm not talking about the front. I'm talking about the little sliver that goes down towards. I thought that's what we were talking about.
Sorry, Commissioner, may I clarify? Jeff, do you know what page? Can you direct us to a page to look at? Would the applicant like to?
No, you'd have to look at the overhead, the aerial. It's not in your
books. I've got a better one, Jeff. Jacob Farmer, 135 North Knowles Avenue, was here 2 weeks ago presenting. Got a couple pictures, so we can maybe have a little better visual for everybody.
That'd be helpful.
This right here.
Right.
That's a picture of the courtyard area along Morse. That structure is in between the Seaside Building and the current DeCiccio Building. The sliver of land is the walkway that you can kind of see right there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And what that does is
back through
this aerial. This is the courtyard, mm-hmm. and then this walkway comes all along back there,
right.
and then dumps into a tiny little corner of Wellburn Ave right there, which is all on the city property. If we were entertaining the idea of purchasing it, we would be certainly open to only purchasing the walkway portion. Because essentially that's all going to stay green space anyways. Even if we just enriched it and worked with the Parks Department, we've met with Mr. Holland, we'll certainly be working hand in hand. They will be approving the landscape plan. Whether it's a purchase of that property or whether it's a maintenance agreement and a redesign and enrichment of it. But that's kind of the whole thing was, well, maybe we can bifurcate it and split it up and maybe it would make more sense, because we've heard in all these meetings and everybody in the area that nobody really uses this walkway anyway. So that's just a clarification on what exact pieces we're talking about.
Great.
Just to add to this, this is Bill Bolf, 135 North Knowles Avenue. I think the parcel in question that we're talking about purchasing.
Could you get closer to the microphone?
I think the part that we're talking about that meanders back, not the colonnade portion, mm-hmm. is under 0.2 acres in total size.
Okay.
If that helps you out.
Thank you.
On size thing.
Yeah, if I understood the agreement correctly, they're supposed to maintain the area of that sliver anyway.
They will maintain that tail.
Right, mm-hmm. So they'll maintain the tail.
The city will be maintaining the colonnade in that
area. They will be maintaining whatever improvements they do to that area.
Right, so it should actually be.
So if they're not doing any improvements in that area, they're not maintaining anything in that area.
But they are maintaining the landscaping and the irrigation system on the entire area.
I'm just having major heartburn over this one, so I'm just sitting here saying,
Commissioner, I know you have heartburn over the entire project, or this specific
and this specific part as well. I mean, we are.
How can we make that heartburn go away?
That's okay. I mean, we're sitting here saying, okay, we're going to turn over a piece of property to somebody that that had they had green space on their property, they would have had fewer buildings, and now they're taking over park space to get the green space they don't have on their site. And if we did that to every applicant that came in here,
we're trying over maintenance of it,
and we're talking now we're fooling around with maybe we got to sell it or something. And I'm going, if we did that to every applicant that came in here and said, I don't have enough room on my property, would you please give me some parkland to maintain and make
up? Just so you're aware, I'm not.
No, I'm just saying, as I've listened to some of the conversation here, I just we're going further down a hole that I don't think we should go down.
Well, I don't think we have that motion on the table.
We don't. And again, I'm just responding to comments that I've heard. And okay. So I just think we're going down a path that I would not like to see us
conversation I'd love to have
go down. So
it's
anyway,
much bigger
to no said.
Okay.
The use of C2 for this year's period.
So my real heartburn over this is we have a road to nowhere, okay? And so maybe that's what it's all about. We just need to look at how it looks because nobody's using it that way. So I don't care what we do with it. I don't want to lose the colonnade at the top either. I remember when you brought the picture 2 weeks ago and you showed us what it was projected to look like. I thought it would be a nightmare for one person to maintain one thing and one another, but you saw that tonight. So that's a great solve. So I don't have any real feeling about it, especially if you fix it. So there's no longer a road to nowhere. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, the landscape plan will be going in front of parks to approve. So there
will be a road to the spray park, right, John?
It won't go to the spray park there.
It
spray
will.
Park
it goes around.
Here.
It goes around.
That's the intent. And I would like to talk to the commission at a later date about C2 in general.
I've heard you mention
it. Thank you.
Just a quick follow-up, just to confirm a couple things. Under the zoning code, the way that the plans are designed, it does meet impervious and square footage and green space, et cetera. We were trying to do it to just enhance that. I just wanted to make sure everyone was aware of that.
Yeah. What you did was absolutely correct.
So we don't need the park area to count as ownership towards our space in order to meet a certain pervious percentage.
True. Thank you. Okay, folks, we have three motions on the table. We'll open the floor for public comment, which we've had it open. Is there any other folks who would like to address the commission? Seeing none, we'll close it. Further commission discussion?
No, sir. Mayor, commissioners, as I understand it, the motion includes all both ordinances and the conditional use, and as part of the conditional use, the developer's agreement as modified.
Yes, my motion was a conditional use with the developer's agreement.
Thank you.
Cindy, would you please read the roll? First on the land use.
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Hooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McNeckin?
No.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. Now on the zoning map change?
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McNeckin?
No.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. And now on the conditional use with the developer's agreement as part of it.
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McNeckin?
No.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. We're looking forward to this project.
Thank
you. Steve. Mr. Cooper.
Mayor, do you mind? Sure. What I don't understand, Randy, listening to Mr. Bellows speak, was that was an excellent plan to have a mid-block connection between those two streets. And I was here when we did the community center, and I don't remember ever having that conversation. I don't know how we lose these things. We don't necessarily have to answer that, but somehow I would love for us to have a system so that we keep track of all these great ideas, because it was a great idea, and so that when we make decisions as a commission, you can bring those to us and help us make more informed decisions. Sorry, it would have been a great update.
Okay, we have the request of Sinjin, and Mr. City Attorney, would you please read the ordinance? This again is the second reading.
An ordinance of the City of Winter Park, Florida, vacating and abandoning the 5-foot utility easement located on Block G of the Home Acre subdivision and the 1999 Florida Power Corporation distribution easement, more particularly described herein, providing for an effective date.
Great.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move for approval.
Thank you.
I'll second.
I heard Commissioner Seidel. Discussion of the commission. Is this second reading? Nope.
No.
Any discussion from the public? If you'd like to address the commission, seeing none, we'll close it. You all ready to vote?
Okay. Yes, sir.
Cindy, would you please read the roll?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. Thank you. Randy?
Yes, sir. This item was brought to us by a resident of the Lake Bell neighborhood. They have been in communications with the school board of Orange County about the possibility of rezoning, redistricting their school to attend Winter Park schools instead of the current schools that they are districted to attend. I believe Mr. Romano is here. don't know. I don't.
No, so, someone from the community.
So that would like we to have speak representatives from the community that would be better at answering questions than I would. But I've put a draft resolution in. I've had a couple of commissioners say that they thought it was too or didn't have enough information to draw the conclusions that were in the resolution. I do have a revised resolution for the commission to consider that's a little more generic, and it basically instead says that the commission generally supports Winter Park residents attending schools located in Winter Park.
Okay.
So I
will tell you, here, Randy, if I might, the question I had for Randy was, or the concern I had was section one at the bottom where the city commission of the city of Winter Park hereby supports a school rezoning request for the Lake Bell neighborhood. I don't know enough to support it. I'm happy to support the section two. I'm happy to support their request that this be given due consideration, but without knowing the different pieces of the OCPS and how it operates and getting involved in that, I mean, there's just knowledge that we don't have that I feel uncomfortable supporting it. But I do feel comfortable. I'm very comfortable with the way you rewrote this, Randy. This is the first time reading it, but I certainly want Winter Park residents to be zoned in Winter Park schools. So that's my only concern. And as I read this, I'm fine with the way the rewrite.
Well, you probably experienced the same thing coming down here from somewhere else. And I moved down to Palm Road, and I figured I was in Winter Park, and we had Winter Park schools, even though we didn't have children.
Right.
And lo and behold, when Emily was born, we found out we were going to be going somewhere else to school.
Right.
And so it was for residents that aren't used to having countywide school districts, I was much more used to city or township or whatever, but it came in. So I'm in support of this, the way it's rewritten, because again, I'm not sure how all OPCS does, OCPS, sorry, how they handle this, and it's their call at the end of the day, whether they do it or not, and it's a matter of numbers of students in schools and whatnot, but again, as this is written to say that we would encourage Winter Park residents to be able to attend what is perceived as Winter Park schools.
You're okay with that?
I'm fine with that.
Commissioner Cooper.
My only concern about it was just that we have thousands of Winter Park children who are not in Winter Park schools. Mm-hmm. I actually talked to Nancy Robinson at the school board, and she said that this would be very unusual process. This is not, they have a process in place. And she is actually working with them now to try to fix the Hungerford Elementary School. So she is already working with them on that. I just wanted to make certain that we were intervening in a process that would put pressure on our other officials that have a process that they have to follow. And I didn't know if you can pull one neighborhood out, or does this mean that all of Ravadage, all of the apartments along Lee Road, are we asking for all those thousands of children to be zoned into our school, or are we? That's what I was struggling with.
Okay, we're not asking for anybody to be rezoned.
How we intervened in the process.
Let's just be clear. We're not asking for them to be. We're asking for consideration, and we say that we support the notion that Winter Park residents go to Winter Park schools. We're not directing them or saying this is...
Yeah, I just didn't want to put undue pressure if there's a good system.
That's why I think the rewriting of it is... I'm much more comfortable with the rewriting.
Because I would very much like to support them. I don't know if I want to say 3,000 people that aren't now in Winter Park schools need to be in Winter Park schools. And now we're talking about it even being bigger. So I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Commissioner Sprinkle.
Well, I was surprised to see this because I've never seen that it made any difference to the school board if somebody decided to say this anyway. So, and I've worked for the school board for many years, so I was kind of surprised that somebody would tell even a neighborhood that was a good idea. And then I was a little bit concerned with all the work we do with Winter Park Schools. Sure. at, of doing this and maybe putting something else at risk. And so here's the way I look at it. Right now, when you look at zoning and how it's done in Orange County Public Schools, because it's not a city system, it is a county system. They do have a system in place, which our attorney Arteman knows extremely well. So I would tell you that system, my understanding is they're in a great big rezoning this next year. So this is a very timely time for a rezoning to take place. But I can't support saying that about City of Winter Park people, because right now we don't even have enough schools in the City of Winter Park to take care of all of that. So I don't think that makes sense. You look at a school that's over, are you talking about a Winter Park mailing address or the city? Because you look at, there's just all kinds of things you're going to get into if we start getting into that business. So I guess because that business doesn't always relate to this business, I'd like to support all of our neighbors and what they have to say, but I don't think this is going to do that.
Okay. Commissioner Seidel.
Yeah, my first question is just on a matter of an order of business. That is it appropriate for the school board to ask us to do something?
It didn't.
So, but is it appropriate if they wanted our support on something? Would someone from the school board send us a letter and say, Winter Park, we're looking at rezoning this. We want to know if you guys support it.
It hasn't come up, so I certainly, would rather.
Just from a matter of order of business, I'm finding there's all these rules here. Yeah. There are rules between
well, hold on, Commissioner, I'll answer that. We get that. We've done this for the FDOT. The FDOT, when we talk about projects, they certainly ask us for resolutions to show the support that the city is supporting something, even though we have no say in the process.
But that comes from the DOT.
But so other areas, other intergovernmental agencies can certainly ask us, how do you feel about this? And all we're saying is the way this is rewritten, and that's why I'm comfortable with the rewrite, is we would like you to give consideration to their request.
Well, I guess what I'm kind of getting at is it's the citizens who put this together to ask us to look at it. Mm-hmm. And for me personally, typically when we're asked to look at anything, our staff has researched it and come back and said, here's the impacts, here's what's going to happen if this happens. I'll just give you the example. Okay, Winter Park High School is full. Okay, if we rezone them to Winter Park High School, does that mean we're going to zone some other people out of Winter Park High School?
Well, I think
we're not in Winter Park. Yes.
Yeah. So if we could have a more general resolution that doesn't identify a specific neighborhood, identifies the city, and that, quite frankly, I would like more schools in Winter Park. I would like to not have a 1,000-person elementary school. I would like to have 300 or 400 kids in elementary schools. That's what I would like. So if the school board could build more schools in Winter Park, then we could send all the kids to Winter Park schools. So, I think there's a lot more to this than what they're asking here. And I'm happy to support something that doesn't identify a specific neighborhood, but identifies the city of Winter Park and sending our, folks, especially the elementary age kids, to schools within Winter Park.
Oh, I love the elementary age. I agree.
Well, I think I just need to clarify this a bit. We're not directing them to do this. We're asking for their consideration, that they give residents of Winter Park consideration for their idea and their concept. And then what we're saying is, just as a more holistic view, it would be nice to have Winter Park residents going to Winter Park schools. Now, they can take it. I don't anticipate this getting in any way, Commissioner Sprinkle, because I take your point. I mean, they are going through it completely redistricting.
Yeah.
I don't believe this is going to impact that a whole lot, except to just say we really would appreciate your consideration. If this somehow gets into the way of their formula will rule the day all day long, as we all know it will. All this is saying is it's showing support for our residents to say, folks, listen to our residents.
But we have the school board did not ask us to do this, and in fact, it probably makes it more difficult for them to do their job if we do this. I did talk to Mrs. Robinson, and she is working real hard for you to try to fix the Hungerford issue. So I know that she is working hard to do that for you. I don't know who asked the residents to do this. Was it somebody on our staff, or was it?
I was informed by the person that gave you the petition that they were asked by the school board to get the city of Winter Park's input.
She doesn't.
Commissioner, if I might, would we have a representative from the group here? Would you please?
Mayor Leary.
Yes.
Is it possible for you to read the rebar or let us see it?
Absolutely. I will do that as soon as we, yes. Certainly. Cindy, you can, don't worry about the time. Please take as much time as you need.
Sure. Hillary Bressler, 1045 Lake Bell Drive, Winter Park. I'm a resident of Winter Park for 12 years, went to Winter Park High School, and we have about 30 children in our neighborhood who are all zoned for Hungerford, and we have probably about four different reasons why we want to be rezoned. One is to be in a better school district in the Winter Park. We are in the city of Winter Park. The second is that our zoning doesn't make sense. On the, actually, Lake Bell, we have one home on Lake Bell, the actual lake, and they are zoned for Domrick, although they are a stone's throw from Hungerford. The rest of us are zoned for Hungerford. We have to go down Lee Road, down Wynemore, which doesn't have a sidewalk, down Kennedy. So the zoning is bizarre, and I don't know when that was done. It's just very bizarre. And then we want to be in a zone in a school that's aligned with sports and other activities so that when our children do go to Lee and to Edgewater, that they know everybody. But right now, these 30 children that are in our elementary, there's 30 elementary children, all are either homeschooled, private schooled, magnet school. We don't have one child going to Hungerford right now. So the neighborhood has changed quite a bit. I've been there 12 years. I'm a native of Orlando, so I know the area well. It used to be all retirees. I think it was some sort of special neighborhood of Navy or something to that effect. And now it's switched just in the last 5 years. There's tons and tons of families. I have two small children, a two-year-old and a seven-year-old, and I have to send both of them to private school. And we just like the support of City of Winter Park to consider and help us through this.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions? Think of the name of
Bressler?
Bressler. Bressler.
Yes.
Can we get the, Patrick? You know, I'm not sure how to operate this thing. I just want to show the gentleman asked me about
it.
Yes, please. Okay. Thank you so much.
Extra copy.
You got a Zoom there, Mr. Mayor. I mean, you can do it.
You didn't really test me today with the Zoom. Here's what the difference is and what was in the packet and what you had seen. The original writing had the City Commission, the City of Winter Park hereby supports the school zoning request of the Lake Bell neighborhood, which is now changed to read the City Commission of the City of Winter Park hereby supports Winter Park residents being zoned to attend schools located in Winter Park. And Section 2 is the City Commission hereby encourages the School Board of Orange County Public Schools to give the rezoning request of Lake Bell residents due consideration.
Excellent. Thank you.
I can leave that up for you. Welcome to the floor to public comment. If anybody would like to address the Commission. Seeing none, we'll close the floor. Mr. Ardman, any thoughts on this, given your experience with the school board?
Good question. I think the way the resolution's been modified just lets the school board know what's going on. The problem is, I think, as Commissioner Sprinkle has pointed out, you know, are you really going to, do you want to get into that business? It is so complicated. There's so many factors, and it'd be wonderful to have all Winter Park schools kids going there. But my experience, and I've had quite a bit of experience with it, is it's not going to have that much impact. Number one, they have the toughest job in the world. The school board members making that decision, and whatever position the city commission takes, if it takes one, is going to be used, and it may actually create more issues than it solves. So if the school board really does want the city's input, then this is fine. But
well, can I go, and then let me go back to that point. Randy, can you again, I think the origin of this was we had a request from the school board. What is this? Or
no, the origin, I had a request from the residents of Lake Bell. They met with Jeff Briggs, went over this. According to the residents, the school board asked them to have the city weigh in on this issue. So I contacted Joey Cagle. This happens not to be her district, but you know, she said that that's not their typical process, but that, you know, that she, you know, it's always good to have the input of the city commission. You know,
sure.
That type of an answer, so.
Well, and I don't like to meddle in other areas. I know because sometimes we deal with others commenting on stuff that we do without all the depth of knowledge that we have on items. And
right.
As I said, my only issue here was the way it was originally written, supporting the request was outside of what I was comfortable with doing. What I feel comfortable with here is having them consider the request and that we would like to have residents of Winter Park go to Winter Park schools.
So here's my real issue here, and that is that we could really undo a can of worms because we have many, many Winter Park residents going to school in Maitland, to Maitland Middle School. A great number of students go to Maitland Middle School that come to Lake Mott and go to Killarney. So we have to be really careful that those same words we put here could not come back and get us. And so I would love to say we support that, but I can't, because there's no way we have the ability in the city of Winter Park to take care of all of our residents now. So to say that is something we can't do.
That's a very fair point.
Is this something we could table and get more information and discussion on and talk to the residents and find out what's an appropriate action as a commission for us to do if we want to get involved in this?
Commissioner, you always have the option to table anything. I would say that I think these points are all, I think the points raised between Commissioner Cooper and Commissioner Sprinkle, which I think are all valid points, are really bigger than information. It's do we want to get involved in this, and do we want to, I mean, I think that's the concern. And I'm not sure more information is going to ease that issue.
Well, it's just...
And there are different ways to get involved, Greg.
Right.
I mean, certainly I've already spoken to Mrs. Robinson and will be an advocate, but doing a resolution for all residents of Winter Park is mm-hmm. just huge, because there's no way our school systems could accommodate them.
Well, do we have a...
Before we make it, we consider a table, Mr. Mayor. I mean, you have spoken. I mean, we've gotten bits of information from different people, and you've spoken to them personally, which carries some weight, but not the weight of having that person requesting that information from the city commission. And I guess my swing on this one is if the school board actually said
they needed it,
they would want to see something like this, then that's one thing. If it's just not going anywhere from there, then it's another.
Okay.
I would feel much more comfortable if we had some official
request
or whatever it might be from the school board saying yes. In order for us to even consider this, we would want to have your input from the commission or a resolution of some type, because I totally agree that you're squeezing the balloon on one end and it's coming out the other if we get involved with something else. I mean, it's just, yeah, you're right.
Well, just
if they have requested it, that's one thing. And I have nothing in my hand right now that says they have.
Well, we have something in front of us. What I'd like to do is move the amended resolution. For a second.
I'll second that.
Okay. Great. I think we've talked on this, and Commissioner, if you can take action if you'd like, or we can call to a vote. Great. Cindy, would you please read the roll?
Commissioner Sedgell?
Yeah, I'm going to have to say no at this point.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
No.
Commissioner Cooper?
I have to say no. I'm sorry.
Commissioner McMacken?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. Sorry, folks, that's voted down 3-2. If the city can in any way assist without a resolution, we're here to help. We'd certainly like to help out our residents in any way we can. So if you can contact the city manager, perhaps there's another way that we can be of assistance to you in your request to try to help you in your efforts. Okay. Thank you. We appreciate your time. Commissioner reports. Commissioner Sight, you know what I'm going to do? Is I'm going to jump to commission reports because I think it'll just take a couple minutes and then we can open the floor up at 5 o'clock. Randy, am I okay to do that?
Yes.
Great. Commissioner Seidel.
Yeah. You know, with regards to the vote that we just made, you know, I'd be happy to sit and talk with you about it and see what else can be done. I do understand the issue. I do understand that we have schools that, you know, we do schools a little different than other countries, and there's some things that, you know, we're working on them, and I know it's a difficult situation, so if you'd like to get together, I'd be happy to talk to you and see what else there is that can be done. It's not an easy fix, shall we say, but you know, always just trying to get people to talk to the right people. And I think at this point, is I just don't feel comfortable that I'm doing something that would be in fairness to everybody. And so that's kind of how I'm looking at it, is what's something that's fair to everybody. So, and I do appreciate you all bringing that to our attention. As far as the rest of the commissioners' report, I do want to mention one of my neighbors also passed away, Becky Perez. She was a member of the First United Methodist Church. And she battled breast cancer for some time. And she was a very brave fighter up until the end. She was actually visiting other sick patients and meeting with them to help brighten their day. And her service is actually going to be at sunrise on Thursday at 7 o'clock.
Oh, that's cool.
It's also very timely with the pink gap going on. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Commissioner. Vice Mayor Sprinkle.
And one more note to the neighborhood that came tonight. I know that it sounds like we're just being hard-nosed about that, but this is a great time to deal with this because they are in the process of redoing all of those lines, and I would suggest that you just go work with them any way you can, because I've been down there and I know they can change the way the lines are drawn, and so that's what this is a great time to be doing it. But we can't really get into that business, and because they're the seventh largest school district in the United States, they're a big entity, and so they don't deal with cities the way that they do in Virginia and other places. And so I see both sides of it. I would encourage you, if I were sitting in your shoes, I would be down there too. So I understand that, and I'm sorry that I can't do more. Well, I was going to mention that I saw you guys at the Tuskegee event last, what was that, Friday?
Right.
That was another one of our great events at Hannibal. And then I see Sean is still here, and I know as the local representative from this board onto the library board that we had a lot going on. I didn't know if you wanted to mention anything that's upcoming, because we have something coming up in 2 weeks that's a meeting from 1 to 4. So if I can ask her to mention anything that's coming up that from the library. No?
What is that?
ACI is bringing back their report.
That's at the regular meeting.
Okay. All right. Well, I know we're not meeting with anybody from 1 to 4. I was thinking of just the task force at the library board.
Please.
We received a grant from the Edith Bush Charitable Trust, and they're funding a couple of projects for us with a group called Library Strategies. They are actually formed the Friends of the St. Paul, Minnesota Public Library. So, you know, Edith Bush is the southern branch, and all the money's in Minnesota. The big money's in Minnesota. So it's a nice partnership for them and for us to work on this together. And so those consultants are coming down, that's what you're checking out, next week. And we're going to meet with them about a couple different projects. One is kind of reimagining our friends. As you saw tonight, our friends are the friends of the library up until now have been the bookstore volunteers. But a true friends of the library encompasses more than that. And as this is a very exciting time to be part of the Winter Park Public Library, we'd like to re-envision and reimagine and re-energize our friends group. So we have a couple of projects for them, and we're very grateful to the Bush Foundation for funding that for us. Thank you. It's not really our project, but you're talking about the school, so that we're partnering with them. We partnered with Kalani School. They're doing a night of reading. Does that sound right?
Which is not in Winter Park, by the way.
But they are a school that needs help, and so we do try to support them, and they're having a big reading night. And Saturday, first of all, Commissioner Mackin was not at the beer tent before 1 o'clock because I was volunteering there. He just walked by and said hello. So I will vouch for his sobriety. And it was, for us, it was Star Wars.
Sorry, don't tell my wife, please.
And for us Saturday, it was Star Wars Reads Day, and we had over like 400 or 500 kids participate. And again, some kid was just, they sent me a picture because I was at the beer tent, not with Commissioner McMahon. he had like 2 Star Wars books, and he was all over the floor, and he was, you know, just very excited. And, you know, books are just here to stay. It's amazing
Good.
So thank you.
Thanks, Chuck. We'll build a library for your paid announcement here tonight.
No. She says it far better than I can.
Commissioner Cooper.
I just wanted to say thank you to the Lake Belle residents for coming and talking to us. And I do hope you understand that the concern is the unintended consequences of us interfering in someone else's process. But we certainly do support your efforts. And I got very good feedback. So I think you are doing a good job in advocating for yourself through the school board. I did want to remind people the historic preservation final ordinance goes for the Historic Preservation Board on October the 14th, is that correct, Wednesday, at 5 p.m. The Florida League of Cities, you're all invited to their luncheon in San Oviedo on the 15th at noon. The Young Composers Competition, they're having that down at the new Dr. Phillips Center, not the Bob Carr this year, so that's exciting, and that's on the 18th. And the League of Women Voters is doing a Money in Politics symposium on the 22nd. So lots of good things going on.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Sandwiched in between the Arts Festival last week, I actually had my coffee talk. And had a good group of folks turn out. And fortunately, we also had one of our police officers there. There's been a number of questions on social media and whatnot concerning recent break-ins, and I thought the officer, I'm glad he was there because in a very technical level, without giving away strategy or how we deal with these things, was able to talk about the processes that the police force does go through to deal with these. And on top of that, I've noticed recently a lot more communication through social media from the police department to various residents groups, letting them know what has happened in their neighborhood, if there has been something. And to me, and Chief, I commend you for that, because when I get a phone call, it's not so much what they, people just want to know, and if they don't know, they make things up. And the fact that I think you and your staff have done an excellent job recently here getting that information out without ringing a panic bell or whatever, being very factual and very straightforward about what is occurring and what you all are doing. So I want to commend you on that one as well. But I thought the officer that was there at the coffee talk did a great job of explaining to the residents how and why and how you proceed on these things. So again, thank you for that. You helped me out. Okay. It made me look good, yes. Mr. Mayor, that's all I had. Thank you.
Great. And Commissioner, I heard great things to your talk, too, so thank you for that. The thing I have is actually, on that note, we have a community forum tomorrow evening. It's tomorrow evening, isn't it, Randy?
Yes, it is.
The Ministerial Alliance is pulling together a forum. The city manager, myself, the chief of police, the fire chief, we have a few ministers from the west side that will be getting together. They requested it, given some of the complications that are happening around the nation these days between police and the community. They thought it would be a good idea to get together and kind of talk to the community, discuss some of the issues that are out there, discuss how to interact with police when approached, to try to calm things to make sure that we don't have an incendiary event. So I think it's a great idea on their behalf, and I welcome you all to come to the Civic Center at 6 o'clock. Seeing as I'm the guy that organized it, I shouldn't have.
It's Tuesday,
I believe it's a community center. It's a community center? At what time? Do I get 6 right at least?
You got Tuesday.
Okay, right? I got Tuesday and I think 6 correct.
Right.
So it should be. I'm sorry? Yeah, the community center at 6 o'clock tomorrow evening. Yes, Commissioner.
And I will say that the police did another really, really great job when we had the picketers show up at a congregational church a couple Sundays ago, and the chief was, as usual, on top of it and handled it just the way you would want him to. So, thank you.
Great. Public
comments?
I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, 5 o'clock. I have to stall for 30 seconds.
Perfect timing.
We'll open the floor to public comment for
anybody. It's 5 o'clock on my watch.
Wanting to address the commission on anything that was not on the agenda this evening. Seeing none, we are adjourned. Thank you all very much.